Session number 8280.
Mr. Finch, reel 3. You were describing how the chap was trying to bandage on.
When I was it there, I was going out put up, and the fella got to me after a time, laying there by myself, and he cut over my trousers with my service kit and tied me knee, just above the knee, and then he was making the second tie the thicker the thigh. And I see the blood coming down his shoulder, and I turn around to him. I said, "Well, for God's sake, leave me."
He'd been hit while...
Yes, I said, "Leave me, I shall be all right." But he happened to look at him for me. He finished the tying of the second time in the thigh. He said, "Well, Corporal Finch, I shall get you back again." Anyway, he went away with that. And it was night time, and another fellow came to my rescue, sort of thing, still calling for the help. And they got me on a German oil sheet, which was laid by the side of me. And put me on the sheet he did, this fellow did, and put me on it and dragged me across the other side of the Mellon Road. And then, as he walked away, he said, "I'll get the ambulance." Well, I never heard no more about the ambulance till next morning. And the rain and one thing and another, I got this German RC and kept myself covered. And all of a sudden, in the daylight in the morning, the sheet was thrown off me, and it was a German officer stood by me with his revolver at my head. And I had to shout to him, "Have mercy on me, what am I?" And he searched me. And I said, "Well, I can't do any harm now." And as he was going through me, he pulled out a wallet, Canadian wallet that I got on me, took his pictures, and they pointed to himself, and I was still asking him for a drink of water, and he wouldn't, and then he threatened me again as he walked away to lie down. I'd got to lie down. And as I went back on my back, I happened to recognise as I lay, the way I come, my memory come back to me, the direction I come in this charge, in a ditch. And it was only a few yards, but it seemed hell of a way to drag myself. But anyway, with the aid of my gun under my bad leg, I kept on hands and elbows and pulled myself into this ditch where I lay for 3.5 days without being found. And keeping myself soaked with water, the rain, I got a handkerchief in my pocket and I put it into the sheet above me, into the puddle of water, and kept squeezing it in my mouth and spitting it out. And I'm still laying in a ditch with the water still running under me. And I was still watching the Germans running about attacking, and I couldn't see who they was attacking, but they was making moves and shooting. And I turned to my left, to look to my left to see who it was. And as I lay there the 3.5 day, I said, "I hope, please God, I was found that day," which I was. And what happened was this, to cover their thing, the German airship was flung over me, and there was 2 bayonets towards my head. And I shouted up quick to the fellas that got the bayonets towards me, "Have mercy on me, I'm English." And they said, "What brings you here?" And what regiment are you? And I told them, and the Worcesters, and one thing and another. And there was 2 Coldstream Guardsmen. They went away and brought back a stretcher and put me onto it and carried me into their lines, where I was questioned by the guards officer, different things, and they fed me with chocolate. That's the first I'd had from the time I was knocked over. Anyway, they get me onto a stretcher again and carry me a distance to meet an horse ambulance, where they strapped me with a paling, a piece of wood, taped my legs together and took me to a convent. And inside the convent, it was the same as in the ambulances, Germans. They dressed me wounds and cleaned me leg down, and patched me up again and fastened me as tight as they could, and then took me by ambulance back again to a train. Put me on the train on a seat, not a wounded coach. And on the train, the only time the train stopped was to get the dead off, or the dying, whatever you may be, but anyway, that's all. And then eventually I got down to, in France, and the ambulance, horse ambulances there met me, Salvation Army. I knew it was the Salvation Army because the way it was on. And they talking to one another, they said about, I was a Kitchener's Army man and I corrected them. And they said, well, all your regiment, the whistles all been knocked over. There's only a few left. I didn't comment any more on that. And when they got me to hospital, I was stripped and cleaned up and then operated on. And next morning, the surgeon come to me and the saucer full of bullets. And he asked me if I wanted any souvenirs. And I said I didn't. He said, well, you'll have six in your leg for the remainder of your life, so. And he said, we got 47 bullets we took out of your ear, machine gun bullets. And then the worst part about it was all this tubing in my leg that he put
on. It's a leg of gangrene.
And tubes all through different parts of my legs, and they used to have to keep drifting it. The nurses used to have to pull at my feet and at my shoulders, two at my shoulders and two at my legs, while they put the tubes through each time, and I was having that done every few minutes, and it seemed. It was longer than that, of course. But it seemed no sooner they got me comfortable, I was in pain again, sort of thing. But anyway, I was out over there for about 8 weeks and 3 days, I think it was. And back into England, a place called Peterborough. Then from Peterborough to Jacksonville or something like that. I forget the name of the place now. Anyway, I finished out that way, Lincoln, in a workhouse, you know, like a hospital with young and old, and I didn't like it, and I complained, and got to Birmingham University here, where the Queen's Elizabeth Hospital is today. And then they, after a long, long while in there, I lay in there, and they wanted to send me to Eastbourne from Elton. I wanted to see Birmingham, have a look at Birmingham for a change. And they given me discharge straight away. That involved me being sent straight to Worcester by train. And then when I got to Worcester, they didn't know anything about me. They sent me back to Birmingham, and that's how I was all over the place. Nobody knew anything about me. And then I wrote to the War Office because I had no pay and nothing of that. And all as I got was a discharge and put on reserve, put on discharge, finished with army altogether.
Were you pleased when you were discharged, or did you want to go back?
No, I didn't have to go back. Finish altogether.
No, but did you want to go back?
No, I didn't. I didn't want to go back. It's like the Bishop of Birmingham, Bishop Wakefield, when he spoke to me in the hospital. He said, I suppose they're getting you ready to go back. And I turned around and told him, I hoped I never went back again. I'd had enough. I had, as much as I wanted. I couldn't see nothing clever in getting ready for that anyway. Well, I was hoping so, and I didn't, because I couldn't.
Could you tell me the story about you being reported missing, presumed killed in action, and how your name's on the memorial?
Then it comes about that the wife had the news that I missing, presumed killed in action. I didn't think nothing of that other than took no more notice of that, of course. Nothing I could do. Anyway, my eldest sister come over from America, and we went in the Worcester Cathedral, whatever caused us to do it, God knows. And in the chapel there, the memorial, and on the memorial is my name, William Edward Finch, Lance Corporal William Edward Finch, killed in action. And on the memorial outside, my name's there. The only difference is the tomb. In the memorial outside is W.C. Finch. See, because I used to write W.E. and the E, mostly like a C. On my medals, W.C. and some, on one, I should say, and on the two is the W.E. On the identification disc is W.C., but on the memorial inside the cathedral is my proper name, full. And of course my sister asked the beacon or verger, whatever it may be, whether he could get it, have it erased. And he said, no, it couldn't be erased. And of course it's still there, and that's been the attraction for many people. They talk to me about it, and it's there. And of course, that's there today.
I'd just like to go back and cover one point, which is the actual charge at Gullaveld. Could you give me an idea of what it's like as an infantryman to be in that sort of charge?
As I say, as the charge sounds, to be truthful, you know how an excited crowd would be at a football match when they score a goal? You know how it goes? Tremendous uproar. Well, that's just how the charge started. And during the charge till I get knocked down, I couldn't tell you what ever happened, other than I went for the objects like the others. But I know for a fact what did happen. My men was less, because I couldn't see anybody. So the only thing, as I said before, what brought sense into me was them three cavalry officers, or men, the Uhlan cavalry.
So basically, you lost this control. Well, not lost control, but you didn't have much control over what was going on. You were sort of swept along.
I had control of myself all the way. I had control of myself this far that I know that I was going. I know that I was going like if you'd go mad at anything. But what happened, I could never say.
Were you conscious at the time that the regiment was being basically wiped out? Were you aware that there were enormous numbers of casualties?
Oh no, I tell you, the only time was being taken in the ambulance when I got down into France. As I know that the regiment had got wiped out, as they described it. I didn't know actually. It's just the same as. One particular part of the charge, I remember stopping my men from going from a fellow when I see laying with his inside all open. And I said, don't touch him. And I wouldn't allow him to touch him. And we continued on. But there, as I say, we're getting less. They was getting less, Jerry. But I'll never say, no, they wouldn't. They was here.
Was it the fighting was taking place in the village, was it?
At Gullaveld.
Within the actual village, though?
Oh, yes, in Gullaveld. Gullaveld Park, as they call it now.
Were you doing what they now call street fighting, going into the houses and searching them?
Nothing of that at Gullaveld. The charge is the charge. It was just like going for anybody in open fields, sort of thing. Not house to house now, nothing like it. Nothing like it at all. It was all above ground, you see. It was like I went out of here, see, into fields.